All right. Today, the message this afternoon will be on the days of Noah. The days of Noah. It's now the year 2012, right? And many of you may have perhaps seen the movie 2012. I have not watched the film, but I heard about it, read about it, and when I was in US, I saw the film on sale, so I bought it. Because I haven't seen it, so I thought, you know, I'll buy the Blu-ray copy of the movie. Right, many people predicted that the end of the world will be happening this year, 2012. Right, the Mayan calendar, the ancient Mayan calendar is said to have dates only up to 21st of December, 2012. And that's it. You know, beyond that, there are no dates in the Mayan calendar, and as a result, by implication, that's the day that the world will end, right? So 21st December 2012. So if you want to buy something, start your installment, and then after that you don't have to pay anymore. Maverick just got it. Right, predictions about the end of the world, they are not new, right? Many people all through centuries, self-professed prophets have made predictions after predictions that the world will end at a certain date, and these dates have come and gone, and the world proceeded as they had before, carry on as per normal. Right, today's message is not going to discuss whether or not 2012 will be the year Jesus returns. Right, that's not the purpose of this message, or any other year for that matter. Right, but what this message will deal with is what the Bible says about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and the Bible certainly says a lot about that. And what we need to know is, while the predictions from self-professed prophets, you know, about the second coming or the end of the world, they've all been proven wrong so far, right? We need to take note that the prophecies that have been contained in Scripture about the Lord's return will never go wrong. Why? Because it has never gone wrong with regards to the first coming of Jesus Christ. All prophecies about the coming of the Messiah were fulfilled to the exact letter, right? Prophecies concerning the dispersion and regathering of Israel was also fulfilled, and in 1948 that happened, right? So we must not dismiss the prophecies contained in Scripture about the second coming of the Lord, because just like they were true for the first coming as well as the regathering of Israel, it will be true for the second coming. Perhaps we are not seeing right now, but when we see it, it will be too late. Right, we need to take note about the second coming right now. Today's passage will just focus on one of these prophecies, and this is in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 37. All right, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, it says here, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Right, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Right, let's all bow our heads and pray before we go any further. Dear Lord, we thank you for your passage that you have spoken to us about your coming. Lord, your prophecies indeed are true. And Lord, while we wait your return, Lord, we know that many people here, they are not looking forward to it because they do not have a right relationship with you. So Lord, we pray as this message goes forth that they will go on to ears and hearts of those that you have intended this message to speak to. Lord, we pray, Lord, if there's any soul here who is not safe, today will be the day that they will be safe and enter into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at the first point, the state of the world in the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? Did dinosaurs roam the earth? Right? You sure?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. Did T-Rex really have such short hands?
Yeah.
All these are questions that are interesting, but many of us, we do not have conclusive answers, right? I mean, the scientists and archaeologists can dig up and they can reenact, you know, like the world, what was that? Science Center, they recently had this world of dinosaurs or something like that. I brought Brianna there, she enjoyed it. They put some flesh around it, but do you really know that that's how the dinosaur looked? We can only guess, right? Right, we only know when we meet Noah, you know, in heaven, Noah, how did they look like? You know, were they like T-Rex? Was it really so fierce as in Jurassic Park? Or maybe it was just a tame, because so short hands, right? Right, we do not have conclusive answers, but the Bible makes it clear that in those days, the state of the, not the dinosaur race or animal race, but the state of the human race, we know. And how you know? Why? Right, because the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the human race was wicked in Noah's days. In Genesis chapter 6, 11 to 13, it continues on, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Right, that's the reason why God decided to destroy this world before with a flood, because there was great wickedness on the earth. The state of the world then, in Noah's days, was wicked. Fast forward many, many thousands of years ahead, and we have now 2012. What's the state of the world today? Right, before we open our papers, we go on Storm or whatever, all the news media, we can just look at what the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago, what the state of the world will be in 2012. All right, it says here in Gospel of Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 37 onwards, it says here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So it is business as usual when Noah entered into the ark. It will be business as usual when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Many Christians think, you know, they are looking for the sign. They say the Dome of the Rock is still there. The building of the temple has not started. I told them, look at this verse. It's business as usual. Jesus will come when business is as usual. Right. This know also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 onwards, it says here, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Right? And 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, there shall also come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So we just read in Timothy and Peter the state of the world, you know, what the state of the world will be before Jesus Christ comes again, the end times. And if you read through all this, does it not describe our world today? Right? Proud, blasphemous, yeah, see, disobedient to parents. More than ever, even in Christian homes, children are disobedient to parents. Right? We can do all we can as parents, but yet they are more disobedient to parents today. This is the end of the world, the state of the world when the end is coming. Lovers of pleasures more than God, right? And then scoffers, right? How many times have we heard people telling us, Jesus is not real. It's been, 2,000 years since Jesus came? He's never come back. And he never will. He's deserted us, you know. Even if your Jesus is real, they'll tell you, he's not coming back. It's business as usual, nothing changed. Men are building more and more rockets, sending more and more spaceships, more satellites into space and all that. And we are building, you know, faster planes and everything. And men take pride in their own ability to build things, to be as God, right? To be as God. And with the advent of the internet and all that, people expressing all their own opinions, whatever that seems right in their eyes. This is what the world today is doing. And whatever that seems right is not peculiar to our age. Because in the Bible, if you read in Judges, in chapter 17 and chapter 21, it says here, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And every time this happened, what happened? God raised up a judge to judge Israel. Right? Today, every man did that which is right in his or her own eyes, and one day, Jesus Christ himself will be that judge. Right? It is a sobering thought. Right? It's a sobering thought. Right? The world we live in today, you know, just doing everything that is right in their own eyes. I just came back from Canada. When we were living in Canada, only the state, only the province of Ontario permitted same-sex marriage. Today, every single province in Canada allow same-sex marriage. Every single province, including Alberta, the Bible Belt. So, you know, everything. Did that which is right in his or her own eyes. Obama just went public and says that it's alright to have same-sex marriage. In the whole of US soon, you're going to allow same-sex marriage. And in Singapore, even our conservative society, we are seeing more and more of the pink ribbon events. Right, I stand here and this is being recorded and it's going to go on the internet. Some of these groups may hate me. I do not apologize for preaching what the Word of God says. I love you. If you are having homosexual relations, if you have homosexual tendencies, I love you as a person, but God hates your sin. We pray that you repent and come to the Lord Jesus. Just because the whole world is changing does not change the fact that the righteous judge is going to come. Right? He said that, you know, one day he's going to come and he will come. And that's the state of our world today. It's not different from the state of the world when, you know, when Noah started building the ark. And when he finished building the ark, God poured down the rain. And when Jesus is done with his preaching here on earth through us as human vessels, one day he's going to come again and judge this world. Now let's go on and look at the heart of the preacher in the days of Noah. The preacher in this case, of course, was Noah. And we have a children's song, you know, that we are very familiar with. Most of us are familiar with. It says, Mr. Noah built an ark. The people thought he's such a luck. Luck means crazy, yeah. Mr. Noah pleaded so, but into the ark they would not go. And then down came the rain in torrents and so on. Alright, so can someone here, I need a volunteer, can someone here turn to the passage or the verse in Genesis and read that aloud for us, please? Like, when Mr. Noah preached and he pleaded with the people. A hint to you is found in the account of Noah is found between Genesis chapter 5 to 10. So if you want to search for it, those with electronic Bibles, maybe you can search faster, you can find that. Yeah. Can you find that, you know, that passage? Huh? Sure? Maybe you want to read it. Sure? Anybody found it? Because for some reason I couldn't find it in my Bible. Maybe I'm using a faulty Bible. Anybody? Yeah, what? How he pleaded. I'm looking for the verse where he actually pleaded with the people. Okay, what do you say?
God remembered Noah and every living thing of cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters.
Okay, but in this case, he didn't tell us that he actually preached and he pleaded with the people, right? He just says God remembered Noah, right? But let me tell you the answer. You actually cannot find a Genesis account that recorded for us explicitly that Noah preached and Noah did like what the song says. Noah pleaded, so please come to the ark, you know, or else you know you'll be destroyed. You cannot find it in the book in the Genesis account. You can also not find in the Genesis account that people laughed at him. And then you'll say, die. You mean we've been singing that children's song and it's not true? Uh-oh. Actually, okay, even though the Genesis account did not explicitly give us the fact, did not state for us that Noah did preach to the people and the people actually ridiculed him, there are some clues and hints that are given in our Bible that gives us some sort of record that he, yes, was a preacher. Noah was a preacher. Right? It says here, not found in the Old Testament, but it's found in the New Testament. Right? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7. It says here, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I read here and says, but Pastor, he still hasn't said that preacher Noah was a preacher. Yes, but in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, we continue reading, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Noah was a preacher, because the Bible says he was. And I'm sure if he is a preacher, he was a preacher indeed. And I'm sure as he built the ark, he pleaded with the people, he preached the word. None of the other people except his family entered into the ark. Right? It was said. Right? It does not make Noah less of a preacher, because the Bible says he was a preacher. Right? But the world at that time, the heart of the preacher at that time was one that pleaded with the people. He was busy. So yes, he was busy working on the ark, you know, with hammers. There's no electric drill and all that in those days. But at the same time, he was preaching to the world in his day. So this basically tells preachers of today, right? So if you're a young person, you want to be a preacher today, you know, we have to live our lives according to what we preach. Noah did, but he built the ark, and yet he preached, and daily he was building the ark, preparing for the day when the judgment is going to come. Right, so if preachers preach today, you know, that, you know, Jesus is going to come again, but then they leave this way, this world, or leave the preaching hall, and live a life that is totally, you know, not reflective of Christ's testimony, then that is not a Noah-like preacher. Right? Noah lived what he preached, and he preached what he lived. Right? Preachers today need to be like that. Right? So that was the heart of the preacher in Noah's day, Noah himself. The heart of the preacher today. Right? Let's look at the heart of the preacher today. The heart of Noah was clear. He was moved with holy fear, for he knew that God will judge the world then with a flood. Today, we are God's preachers. Right, not just Pastor Crocker, Pastor Moore, myself, or Pastor Eddie, or any one of the missionaries that we support. No. Every single one of us, we are preachers. Right? Whether or not you are trained in a Bible college or attended hermeneutics, homiletics, and whatever, homiletics, doesn't matter. If you are saved, born again of Jesus Christ, you are a preacher of His. Right? We preach with our lives more than we preach with our words, many times. Right? Today we are God's preachers. We ought to be moved with the same holy fear that God will soon judge the world. This time, not by water, but by fire. Even greater judgment. Right? So we need to be moved with that holy fear. Therefore, the Apostle Paul can charge young Timothy then with these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2 to 5, it says here, he told young Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's what's happening today, right? They will not endure sound doctrine. People of the world today will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is the exhortation to young Timothy. And he told Timothy, you know, preach the word. There will come a time when people will not listen anymore. And today, we are seeing that happening. You know, people will not want to hear. They will turn to what? Alternative lifestyles. Right? Alternative media, alternative thoughts. It's the age of humanism or modernism is right on us now. Right? Everything is relative. There's no right and wrong. You hear that often, right? Everything is relative. It depends on culture, right? And the sad thing is that the minority groups are using that to advance their wrongdoing, right, at the expense of those that were maintaining the right stand, right? So therefore, we must preach like there's no tomorrow, right? We must preach as if tomorrow we will hear the trumpet of the Lord. or tonight. We'll preach as if this is the last message we're going to preach. When we talk to somebody, it's as if that's the last chance we're going to speak with that somebody. Right? When we plead with someone, a loved one, a friend, you know, about Christ, we must plead with that person as if that's the last time we will ever get the chance to do so. Right? Otherwise, what happens? Those that we have half-heartedly preached to will be left behind when Jesus comes again. Right? And we do not want that to happen. Okay, now let's next look at the mercy of God in the days of Noah. Now we see that the mercy of God did not change from the days of Noah to today. Right? It says here in First Peter chapter 3 verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So God's mercy was great on the earth over, you know, about 100 over years when Noah built the ark. Remember, he did not have electric drills and all that, so he took a long time to build the ark. But during the time when he was building the ark, God's mercy was on the earth. Noah was preaching, warning the people that the flood will come, and they all probably ridiculed Noah, because at that time there was no rain on the earth, right? Water came up from the ground to water the land. So they were like, rain? It's like as if now we're telling people, one day Jesus is going to come in the heavens and everyone's going to, yeah, crazy. religious fanatic. Yeah. Have you been called a religious fanatic before? Recently I had somebody call that, well, say that to me in my face. I was like, oh. Okay. I was just waiting for the day when somebody actually says that in my face. And he apologized because he probably thought it, and then he opened his mouth and, what's a better word for it? I said, it's alright. I am a religious fanatic. Because he was just explaining to another Christian man in his workplace that how that he and I, we are similar, you know. There's another one of your kind, the religious fanatic kind. But it's alright. I mean, we are not the fanatics in the, you know, the word fanatic today is used in a bad way. We are fanatics because we believe what the Bible believes. If you are a Bible fanatic, that is right. As long as you don't add to what the Bible says, right? The problem is a lot of so-called Bible fanatics add to what the Bible says, and then they in turn tarnish the good name of true Bible fanatics. Right? If you're a real true good, true blue Bible fanatic, do not be shy about it. Okay. So the mercy of God in Noah's day was great, right? God waited for this world to repent. Right? And God prepared the ark. And God also prepared a way of escape for the people of this earth today. Right? So the mercy of God today is also offered as well. In 2 Peter, right? So 1 Peter we read about the mercy of God in Noah's day. 2 Peter we read about the mercy of God today. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is not willing for any to perish, all to come to repentance. And some people may read this and say, you know, it's okay, God is not willing that I should perish so I can just carry on my merry old ways and all that. But do note, if you're here today and you're not safe, God's mercy will come to an end. Just like it had come to an end in Noah's days. Even though God offered his mercy, but one day that mercy ended and judgment came. So one day, this same mercy that is offered to the people today in the year 2012, that mercy may soon come to an end. And when it comes to an end, that's it. That's it, right? So our challenge today, what is our challenge today? In Matthew 24:44, it says here, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44, therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So what it says is, at a time when we think that is business as usual. In a time when we think that everything is going to be all right. In a time when we are looking to move out of Furama and going to ERA. And then we think, oh God, let us to ERA. I'm sure we'll move to ERA before Jesus comes. Are you so sure? Did the Bible say? Right. And when we were in Canada, the church in Canada had bought a piece of land when we were there. So that's almost 10 years ago. Now they have got the foundation in. And they have not started building the building, right? Some of them actually thought that, you know, they will see the building up before Jesus comes again. But you never know. Jesus may come before the building is up. Jesus may come before we move to ERA. Jesus may come tonight. Right? For the Son of Man is taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, and that means at evening, or at midnight, or at a cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, unto you all, watch. So we never know when Jesus comes again. Of the day and the hour know not man. Right? And do not read this verse as if we shouldn't care, because day and the hour we do not know. The same Bible says, you all see the fig tree, when it's tender and putting out its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. In the same way, when you see these things, and the passage is talking about in the end times things will come, you know, perilous times, earthquakes in diverse places, and in our earth today haven't we heard about earthquakes in diverse places? In one same day you have an earthquake in New Zealand and happening in Japan as well as in Indonesia in 24 hours. Earthquakes in diverse places. And then you say this is business as usual. I think the Lord is coming sooner than we think. His mercy is still here, but that mercy is going to end sooner than we think. Sooner than we think for us Christians who are not actively serving Him. Sooner than we think for those who are still outside His kingdom. So as our closing, I thought I'll read to you a song, you know, that is found in our hymn book. It says here, depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God His wrath forbear? Me the chief of sinners spare. So this is talking about, you know, how somebody who is not safe, like the Apostle Paul, he's called himself the chief of sinners. You know, like God's mercy is so great. And then second verse says here, I have long withstood His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hearken to His calls, grieved Him by a thousand falls. Right. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit by our thousand falls. May this message today challenge us that the coming of the Lord may be sooner than we all think, but there is still a lot more souls out there that have not heard. Perhaps some of you here, maybe you are Christian, but you realize that you are not like this man in Matthew chapter 13, where the Lord says to watch. You have been sleeping. It is time now to get up and watch, for the Son of Man may come anytime. Let's all bow our heads now and pray.